Hi there. Sorry about that. It is January 11th, 2024. This is a Flight Risk Podcast Show, and I'm your host, Rob Bruton. And I do have a little scratchy throat today, so forgive me for that. And as always, I got the puppy dogs in the studio. So if you hear them panting, breathing, or messing around, that's what's going on with them. So we've got a really cool show slated for you today. So stay tuned. Don't go away. I'll be right back in. All right, gang, here we go. Welcome back to the show, and thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please subscribe to our podcast so that you can get more good stuff, because I got a lot of good stuff coming this year. So, you know, we touched on a little bit, and I really want to ramp this up today. Is, you know, there is so much going on in the world. I mean, there, between wars and economy and, you know, bullshit scandals going on and all of these things that you have to kind of back up and go, how is this affecting me? And, you know, it can have an effect on you, of course. But how is it stifling anything that you want to achieve in your life? Because at the end of the day, you and I as a regular Joe can have whatever set thing between Israel and Gaza, for example. We can have whatever we believe, whatever we choose, but you and I can't go in and stop it. You know, I can be mindful and pray for what I hope would be the final outcome of peace and where people can live together in harmony and peace. You know, but I still have to, and here's the sad part, you know, you still got to pay the electricity bill. You still got to pay your cell phone bill. You still got to do a lot of things that if your head's not right, you know, then if you're all cluttered up with all the bullshit that's going on, which it's easy to do, it's easy to get caught up in all kinds of wicked, crazy, mind-numbing stuff. But you still have to walk through life. And if you're going to walk through life successfully, you know, then you really kind of have to learn to compartmentalize some of this stuff so that it doesn't wig you out and stifle any type of progress that you're trying to make. For example, you know, you need, or I say you need to, you should, I recommend, excuse me, guys, like I've said in the last few shows, I've been getting over a cold, so I certainly apologize. You know, it's knowledge is gonna make clear for you where your head should be. And if you learn about something and do some critical thinking, don't just listen to legacy media or listen to what, you know, the government's telling you or what. You know, here's the thing that you got to, like, when you look at the government, how many years have they had to fix everything in our country and don't? Every election cycle has the same shit. Think about it. Go back and look. If you're a young person, go back and look, you know, 10, 15, 20 election cycles ago. And see if they're not selling the same sack of shit to your great-grandmother that they're trying to sell you today. Go back and look at history and see if they are not selling you the same sack of shit that they were trying to sell your great-great-great-great-great-granny. Because when you do that, then you realize that that's a system that's way broke, okay? and without getting too political, until there's term limits, there's not going to be, it's going to be the same shit. And you can hear all the, that, you know, people need to get in here and learn how to be legislators. That's not what this was set up to do. They need to figure out how to spend our tax dollars appropriately. You know, it shouldn't be earmarked with all kinds of goodies for, when you look at some of the shit we spend our money on, and you look at the homeless crisis, or you look at the border crisis, or you look at education, you look at things that need real help and real answers now, and we're studying, you know, underwater basket weaving and its effect on, you know, the river, you know, yeah, you just sit there and because some, you know, congressman or senator's, you know, second cousin has a you know, an underwater basket weaving school, you know, I mean, it's sometimes you sit there and go, yeah, I think my money could be spent somewhere else. I can get my, you know, as a taxpayer, I think I can get my head around fixing roads, good schools, good healthcare system, all that type of thing. You know, the things that come to mind as a reasonable person that the government should be to us. Instead, we've become this industrial military complex, got to be in proxy wars all over the world to spend that. And the people that run all that are pretty scary folks. You know, that's why you, excuse me, have to just say that, you know, I need my own little piece of the world over here, and educate yourself on what's true and what's not. You know, and when you have knowledge is power, and you've certainly in some point in time in your life, you've heard that saying. And it's the damned truth. Knowledge is power. If you can learn something up, down, sideways, back and forth, I promise you, your life is going to be immensely more satisfying because you understand and you can process it differently and better. You don't just wig out over something that, you know, I see all these young people and it's sad because I'm sitting there going, damn, dude, have you not read a history book? Have you not looked back at history? Yes, history is riddled with terrible atrocities. Terrible atrocities. But you still need to know what's going on. That's why I'm saying go back and look at history. The same sack of shit these assholes are trying to sell you now is the same sack of shit they were selling 30 years ago. 40 years ago. Every decade has some new something that's gonna kill us all. Go back and look at acid rain. You know, go back and look at holes in the ozone. I don't hear too much about holes in the ozone or acid rain anymore. It's a new thing. Yeah, fossil fuels are, you know, probably not the cleanest thing in the world. Coal, certainly not the cleanest thing in the world. But why is it here and why is there so much of it? And I'm not saying that, it, you know, that I'm pro any of it. I'm not. If we can make a nicer, cleaner world, I'm all about it. If we can be a better, you know, we're not a trash dump. I'm all about it. We're not polluting the atmosphere and things like that. I'm all about it. But, you know, it's one of those deals where you got to go back in and you got to look at, you know, you're really going to listen to some 17-year-old kid tell you that her life's destroyed because, you know, the world's going to end? And her prediction for that has already come and passed. You know, it's one of those deals where, and I talked about it in the last show, you kind of got to play the cards that are dealt you. And when you play the cards that are dealt you, you need to have knowledge behind that that allows you to make good decisions, that allows you to make an informed decision. Excuse me. You know, it's one of those deals where, you know, you can sit here and go through all of this crap and say that, you know, we got to be in electric cars and we got to be in all that. That's all well and good. But have you looked at the, you know, there's good and bad in everything, and there's bad in some of the stuff that they're asking you to do. I live in Texas. These wind farms are, you know, everywhere. But there's a lot of garbage that goes with that. There's also a shit ton of oil that has to be used to lubricate the shafts that drive the windmill. And I'm talking about, you know, 300 gallons of petroleum to spin a windmill. You know, and most of the time when you drive past a wind farm, you know, I'll say the biggest majority of the time, they're not spinning. Because the grid's fine. They spin when the grid needs, because there's no way to store it. There's grids, it spins when the grid needs electricity, or the area that it serves needs electricity. So, you know, and then what do we do with the, you know, all of that stuff has a shelf life. All of it has to be manufactured. You know, the stuff to make batteries for electric cars, it's pretty nasty stuff. And there's only certain places in the world where you can get it. Go ask a kid who's, you know, mining cobalt if he, you know, hopes that you get a new Tesla. Which I, you know, I love Elon Musk. I think he's a great guy. I think Tesla's a great company. But there's a lot to, you know, all these people don't, you know, they tell you that, you know, you should do this and you should do that, but you haven't really looked at the ugly side of clean energy or whatever it, you know, the current narratives that's being spanned. You know, you look at Antarctica. Why can't I go to the center of Antarctica? Why can't I fly over that area? What does the government not want me to see? Same thing with the North Pole. What do they not want you and I to see? So, again, if you go back and you take a look at, you know, and you do some real checking and some real research and make up your own mind other than, you know, listening to what the arrogance of the government wants you to believe. You know, and when, if this place is our place, then why can't we know certain things? Why has everything got to be labeled classified? So there's broken shit in everything that we look at. So if I know all these things and then these things are broken, then what can I do to change it? Well, I mean, I can vote for politicians that I think might change something, but then when I go back and look at the track record of politicians, and I'm sitting there going, they sure talk a good game. Think about all the things that they're talking about right now in the news, and nothing is being done. Nothing. there is so much shit out there that they're not doing anything about that is mind numbing. So what does that have to do with you and I in making our lives better? The whole point of all this is that knowledge, critical thinking, those type of things are things that you and I should be able to do in order to formulate our own life experience. Yeah, I care about all that stuff that's going on. Is there anything I can do about it? Nope. I can vote, but when you think about it, you got to go in there and you vote for the lesser of two evils. I have to vote for one or the other of two people. Rarely is there an independent person that that comes anywhere within a light year of the race. So I have to pick the lesser of two evils. That it's something. I mean, it's like, if you hated Donald Trump and you voted for Joe Biden, is your life better than it was? Well, if you think about all the things that are going on in the world, I live in Texas. I live in South Texas. And I can tell you that the border is beyond fucked up. There is no operational control at the border. None. Not even a little bit. And it's not just people from South America coming. These is people, military age men coming in. And I'm not trying to make this a news thing. But, when you look at all these people that come in, and I go down and I take pictures. I'm a photojournalist. So it's tough, and the Mexican cartels are banking, And it's sad that when you think about the poverty in a country and what it drives people to do, I blame poverty for a big chunk of what goes on in a country, especially in what they deem, I hate the term third world or whatever. It's when you look at the countries in South America, not only have they been raped by our government, but they have such poverty that it forces people to make horrid decisions. Because when you're backed into a corner with no choice, sometimes the choice is ugly. All right, I'm going to take a little quick break here, get some water so I don't cough in your ear, and I'll be right back. See, that was easy. So, pick and choose your battles, but pick and choose wisely in the sense that if you're going to get involved in something, figure out, come up with a solution. I hear lots and lots and lots of, we need to be carbon neutral? Okay, well, how the fuck do you get there without costing millions of people their jobs, without costing millions of people their livelihoods, without changing everything that we do? I hear a lot of this and that. Well, I'm sorry. What's the end game solution? Well, the end game solution is that we save the planet. You can argue with as many people who say that it's bullshit as say that it's real and we need to be on it today. And then when you go back and you look at historically all the things that change from decade to decade to decade, what is the new, doomsday thing that we've got to pay attention to now? It's always some doomsday shit that takes us into a different realm. So educate yourself, do what you can, keep a positive attitude about whatever. Like I said, you may not. So let's say that that you don't like the current guy in the White House. Okay, well, there's not much you can do about it today. It's not much you can do about it at all, other than vote your conscience when you get where you can. You can, but if you lose your shit during this time, or if you say, oh my God, we got to, you know, keep whatever, do this, do that, you know, it boils down to, you know, unless you pull some big strings, I'm sorry, there's probably not much you or I are going to be able to do to change anything, other than we can vote, can do our best. Or having, after talking about all of this shit, what can I do to make my world better? What can I do to make my piece of this earth better? And that's the point getting now to the show, is you have a small chunk of this world that basically is your little world. And within your little world, what are you doing to make it better? So I've always said, you know, if you're an environmentalist, how much trash have you picked up this month? Do you go out and just pick up trash without having asked to do so? Have you gone down to the river and seen and picked out, you know, trash from a river, pulled out old tires, pulled out, you know? Are there places that the trash has blocked up the flow, the natural flow of a creek or river? Did you clean it up? Have you planted an indigenous tree to an area where you live with the blessing of a wildlife department or somewhere where you can go and plant a tree? Did you do that? So there are things that you can do to make the world a little better place within your world. So if you take it down to something like I do, where I have my family, my little world, and that's really what I have control over in a sense, you know, and if the economy comes at us hard, then, you know, my little world, this is how we're going to deal with it. You basically become your own little autonomous country, if you will, you know. It's like, you know, when you hire a senior manager or a general manager of a store to say, okay, I'm going to hand you these keys and how you get me to profitability are your problem, your task. So, you know, you have to look at life as God's given you your own little area, your own little space, and you to do with what you can. You can send, you know, you can give money and send money to people in distress in the Middle East, or you can go down and serve in a soup kitchen. You can do all kinds of things, give clothing to shelters so that people can have clothing. If you own a business and you can do something to uplift someone, you know, we've all seen the dry cleaner windows that say, bring us your work clothes for an interview, and we'll clean and press your work clothes so that you look sharp going into, you know, how many places, you know, give a haircut for free for somebody that's going in that needs a job. You know, there are thousands of really cool ways that we can help and make it so that our lives are enriched because we were able to enrich someone else's life. All right, we're going to take a quick break here because I feel a coughing spurt coming on. So sorry, I'll be right back. See, that was quick. So, taking care of what we can take care of within our own little atmosphere, our own little environment, our own little world. You know, lower your carbon footprint. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing, because until you do it, you know, I mean, you know, when everybody starts lowering their carbon footprint, we'll do something. Well, lower yours. Learn ways to do it for yourself and your family. Be a part of the solution, not part of the talking narrative. You know, just because everybody else is, you know, driving a monster truck doesn't mean you have to. So do what you can. Do what you know you can do. And you'll be surprised, as an example of your behavior, you'll see people going, "Hey, I see you do this all the time. What are you doing? Man, that looks so much fun. How do you get started?" You tell somebody, all of a sudden they tell somebody, and you know, and things start to happen. Things start to change. Look in your yard and find out from your local landscape company what are plants that are very CO2 hungry. You know, what are shrubs that are very CO2 hungry, and plant those around your home. Plant those around your home. Something that eats CO2, but in a big way, makes a difference. So that's kind of, you know, there are a lot of cool things that we can do in order to make our lives better, even given the whole total chaos of the world. You know, I'm very fearful for World War III and all the things that are going on. And I'm very fearful that it's going to be brought to our soil this time. But I can't let that just consume me. And I sit in my house and take the dogs and go in the corner and wait for the inevitable end. So I can do things about it. I can put out shows like this and say, "Hey, you know, I bet if we're regular Joe people," and you guys have heard me talk about this a million times, and one of the documentaries that is on the back burner, mostly because we were going to start shooting it at COVID, and that changed obviously, and then I got sick. So, you know, where we go around the world and talk to everyday people and say, "Do you really want to kill me? Do I really want to kill you? No. No, I don't. Not interested." Because we all want the same thing. And I say this over and over and over again because it's so true. It needs to be screamed from the highest top. Is we all want the same thing. Love, happiness, healthy family, health for ourselves, you know, ways to give our children more than what we were able to have in our life and not to make the same mistakes that we did. So again, we go back to that education component. Because at the end of the day, regular Joe people, that's all they want. Leave me alone. Let me have my little piece of the world. Let me do my thing. I'm happy, you're happy, everybody's happy. I don't need to kill you. I don't need you to kill me. You know, basically, you know, you stay in check. And that's not that hard to do. Not that hard to do, because all this other stuff has got people where they hate each other so much, they hate the fact that a certain group of people breathe. Why? Because people got involved in it that were trying to uplift or enrich themselves in some way, instead of just letting people be people. Think about all that for a minute. It's kind of, you know, it's not me or you out there starting this war or starting a war or, you know, but it's people with an agenda. And that agenda can be ugly. There is nothing solved by killing each other. You know, nothing. Nothing solved. It just sucks. And a lot of good people lose a lot of good people in their life over shit that wasn't something they wanted to fight about. So you have to think about all those things. What can I do to make my little life better? Can I educate myself? You know, and not judge others. You know, we all got shit that we can be judged for. So, you know, I'm not saying that we can't have a situation where, you know, an atrocity's done where you say, yeah, no, you know, there should be some retribution and some penalties for that. That's not cool. Not going to stand for it. But let's not get there in the first place. And that's the real key. And that's the real toughie. In hindsight, yeah, should everything have been done diplomatically? Well, yeah, if it could have been. But again, I go back to, you stick two mothers in a room and say, your children are absolutely 100% going to die unless you find a way for us to live peacefully. You don't think two moms could do that? How about, you know, sound off, moms. If it was going to be you that had to save your child, could you find peace with someone, a mortal enemy? You don't got to love each other. You don't got to like each other. You just got to live together. So before we go to thinking about all this crazy shit and yada, 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 you know, how can we take care of our own little space in the world? How can we bring a better me, a better you to the planet? What can I do in order to help save the planet if it's indeed at risk? And make your contribution. So at the end of your life, you can go, you know, I put a dent, small one, but I put a dent. And that's how that works. You have a lot to contribute. You have a lot you can do. But the best thing that you can do is give yourself knowledge so that you don't have any fear. You completely understand what's going on and you can make good and informed decisions. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you. Got to play the cards that are dealt you. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. You can find everything you want to know about me and books that I published. I got some new books out. We even did a little kids snack cookbook, just kind of put it together just for fun. And you can find that on Amazon. Plus, I've got a bunch of other stuff on Amazon. We just published a novella on Amazon. If you don't know what Amazon novellas are, go take a look. It's kind of a cool, it's kind of a fancy blog. And it's really neat. We're working on a couple of music shows that we've got going into production late this year. And I'm working on two documentaries currently that are in pre-production that are coming together quite nicely. So you can go find all this out at robertbruton.com. You can follow the link tree that's in the bio here and see all the cool stuff that we do. And as always, I appreciate it. This is Robert Bruton with the Flight Risk Podcast Show. Bye for now.